And all of us in here, God moves in unexpected ways. There are things that happen unexpectedly. Diagnosis from doctors, marriage, birth of babies, announcements of marriage, a brand new home. There are a lot of different things that happen unexpectedly in our life. Sometimes these moments are very hard to understand because many times these are uncharted territories and cause us to operate in greater areas of faith that we've never walked before. God will move in unexpected ways. How many in this last year God moved in unexpected ways in your life? You know, God doesn't want to be predictable. You know, God doesn't want to be kept in a box. He doesn't do things unexpectedly just to keep us guessing. But sometimes it happens. Here's an important point. Just because we receive a prophetic word from God doesn't always mean it will happen the way we think or expect it to happen. Did you hear that? Sometimes whenever God speaks a word to us, He may give us a promise, and all automatically sometimes we think it's going to happen a certain way, or it's going to take place a certain way, maybe because the way we saw it happen before, or maybe the way we saw it in somebody else's life. But again, Mary, you know, she had, you got to put yourself in this moment for a minute. Mary was probably thinking ahead that within a year from then, she was going to be married because she was betrothed. And according to Jewish custom, that whenever there was a betrothal, the wedding was about a year later. And so here she gets a visit from the angel. And what was his name? Anybody know what the angel's name was? Santa Claus? No. Gabriel, right? And so Gabriel comes and visits and says, you're going to have a child. And he's going to be a great deliverer. He's going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so she's saying, all this is happening. And it's so fast in an unexpected way. And she's like, how can this be? I'm just a young girl. There's no way this can happen. I'm not even married yet. How is this going to be? And then he began to explain how the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and that this thing was going to be from God. And then one of the very last things that Mary said to the angel was said this. Does anybody know? Be it unto me according to your word. She came in agreement with that word. And then one of the most talked about scriptures all year long, and I'm wearing it here this morning on purpose, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That's what he said to Mary. Mary, I know this looks impossible. I know that this is an unexpected moment that we're in. But with God, somebody shout, with God. Look at somebody, say, with God. Now look at somebody else with an attitude and say, with God. Nothing will be impossible. But you know what? Some things could have stopped Mary. Think about this for a minute. How would you have felt? Come on, think about this for a minute. I asked Adam this the other day, and we're trying to put ourselves in this moment. I said to Butterside, I said, how would you feel if you come home, but if Abigail come home and say, hey, Mom, I'm pregnant? Think about this for a minute. A lot of fear could have came in this moment. Am I right? Because maybe fear of the unknown. How is this going to happen? Why did God choose me? Why am I supposed to be the one? How about fear of what people would say? Come on. Isn't that some things that stop us from unexpected moments? We think about people. We think about what are people going to say? People's going to talk about me. How about the commitment? We didn't plan on having babies yet. Me and Joseph were going to wait for a few years maybe. But all of a sudden now, commitment, sacrifice. I'm talking about when God moves in unexpected ways in our life and we could miss it. Here's some things that we can miss it because we're afraid of what people will say. We're afraid of the commitment. We're afraid of the unknown. Can I say this? Fear will always talk us out of seeing God in unexpected moments of life. Mary could have easily said, what will people say? People will judge me. think I'm no good. Don't want to throw me away. This is impossible. I'm not old enough. There's no way. This is not proper. This is not the right thing. But yet God chose Mary. And I say this a lot of times. What if Mary would have said no? Would the angel have gone to another house? Think about this. What if Mary would have said, I don't think I can handle this. I don't think that this is for me. Let somebody else carry this child. Let somebody else bring the Savior of the world here. But in 1 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Here's the second thing here that stops us from experiencing God when unexpected things happen. How about comparison? Pastor Jen would talk about this a lot, about unhealthy comparison. Comparing ourselves in situations to everyone else around us. How about Mary could have said, this didn't happen before. Nobody else has had this happen. I've never heard this before. Unhealthy comparison will keep us trapped and never experience our own personal experience, our own time with God. Let someone else do it. That could stop us from experiencing the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Look at somebody and say, expect the unexpected. Here's the third thing that can stop us, is tradition. Tradition. Well, God never did it like this before. Sometimes we get caught up with the way God did it before that we're not unable to receive if anything new is happening. It's always different. You know, the Jews missed this moment. Do you know why? Because of their tradition. They were waiting for Jesus to be announced from the angels. They were waiting for, you know, they were waiting for a different way. They wasn't expecting a Savior and the Messiah to come in a manger. They didn't expect him to be riding in on that triumphant Sunday, on that triumphant day on a donkey. They expected him to take over and be the next leader over Israel. But I've always said, if we want something different, we've got to be willing to do something different. Unbelief will stop us. This doesn't make any sense. How can this be? This is impossible. Unbelief will always stop me from walking by faith. My unbelief will always make me, it'll always control what my actions based upon what it looks like. But how are some ways that God moves? Do you know that God moves through people? Do you know that? I was talking to somebody before, and it was during one of our food pantry times, and there was a lady there, and she said, you know, this is people doing this. This is not God. I said, no, this is God. I said, God uses people. God uses people. God uses you. God uses people to help people. God uses people to help people in need. God uses people to bring encouraging words. Aren't you glad that when you get a random phone call or just a text from somebody out of the blue and just says, hey, I just want to say I appreciate you? Yesterday, I got a text message from one of the teenagers that used to be in our youth group. Just randomly, he just said, hey, Pastor Aaron, I just want to say how much I admire you, I appreciate you, I just want to encourage you. And just out of nowhere, he gives me this text, and we text back and forth a little bit yesterday. And I said to him, I said, you don't know how much this meant to me, just encouragement. You know, let God use you. Allow God to use people in your life. You know what happens? Sometimes we shut out people, don't we? God wants to work through people. God speaks through our children. Many times God has spoken through my children, through my grandchildren. God speaks through pastors. He speaks through friends. He speaks through family. In fact, Jesus said this to his disciples. If you remember, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me, right? When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they're confused. They're like, Lord, when did we ever see you this way? And he said, when you did it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. We're God's hands and feet. We're hands of grace. I believe that's the theme for scripture for hands of grace food pantry. And so God uses people. How about through big events? God uses different events. God uses unexpected life events to speak to us. But here are just three things, and I'm just going to be kind of bringing this thing to a head, and I just want to encourage you with this. Here are three ingredients. If you're writing down, taking notes, there are three things. Ingredients to see God move in your life. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Attitude. Attitude. Look at somebody and say, what's your attitude? The right attitude, watch this. The right attitude will keep me in the room. My talent or my gift might open the door. I might have opportunity to come in, but it's my attitude that keeps me in the room. Watch this. The right attitude embraces these unexpected moments as opportunities instead of obstacles. Did you catch that? You see, the wrong attitude will say, it all, you know, the wrong attitude is like, why do bad things always happen to me? Nothing ever works out right. You know, the job always goes sour. People always back out. This person always comes ahead of me. A lot of people with the wrong attitude will look at unexpected situations as obstacles instead of opportunities. God wants us to have the right attitude and see the opportunity and see the glass half full instead of half empty. You know, every time I watch the news, and I'm not trying to get political here, but they always want to show the president's approval rating, how much people disapprove him and so forth like that. And they always want to, like, it all depends on what channel that you're watching too. By the way, I was in Trump International Hotel the other night, right? And I look up at the TV, and guess what news program was on? CNN. Can you believe? I was like, wow, CNN's on, you know. Okay, anyway, so I don't know if you got that or not, but I'm a big Trumper guy. And so, like, the president's approval rating is at, whatever, 50%. And they're saying how much people disapprove him. You know, 50% of the nation disapprove him and all this. But on the other side, I'm saying, like, wow, well, 50% approve of him. You got to look at the other side of it. You know, like when it's going, you know, people can look at the forecast and say, oh, man, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's just going to rain for the next 10 days. 40% chance of rain, 50% chance. Yeah, but there's a 50% chance of sunshine. And you see, your attitude will always make you look at the big picture. Our attitude will always, listen to this, your attitude will always determine your altitude. What is your altitude? How high you go? Your perspective. You ever get into an airplane, and then as you get up higher, as the altitude goes higher, all of a sudden everything else becomes smaller. Your attitude will always see your problem not as an obstacle, but always sees the opportunity inside of the problem. Have the right attitude. My attitude will unlock more opportunities. Did you catch that? Because when opportunities come, some people with the wrong attitude might say, well, I deserve more. I should have more. All of a sudden, you know what the wrong attitude? The wrong attitude has people have entitlement. They feel like they're entitled to things. But the right attitude will produce a grateful heart. The right attitude will celebrate what's in your hand instead of being upset about what everybody else has. Come on, you remember the parable of the talents of the five, two, and one? One had five talents, one had two, one had one. The guy with the five, he went and he doubled it. He had the right attitude. Everybody say right attitude. And then the guy with the two, he went and he doubled it. He had the right attitude. Everybody say right attitude. And then the guy with the one had a bad attitude. Everybody say bad attitude. He went and he buried it. He had the wrong idea. He had the wrong. He looked at his master as mean and hateful and want to correct him and rebuke him. But he had the wrong attitude. And the wrong attitude made him not do anything with his talent or his gift. The right attitude, listen to this, the right attitude gives God something to work with. The right attitude, when you serve without complaining. The right attitude will help you serve without complaining. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about these things. Let your attitude be that of Christ. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that change your attitude. If you change your attitude, you know, sometimes the situation doesn't always change. But if I learn how to change my attitude, look at somebody and say, you need an attitude adjustment. Come on. I need an attitude adjustment. And whenever I have an attitude adjustment, all of a sudden, now Jesus becomes the reason for the season. Now all of a sudden, I put Christ back in Christmas. Now all of a sudden, now your marriage begins to be whole. When your attitude is right, when we have an attitude adjustment, we become so focused on God instead of focused on us. Come on, are you getting this so far? Is this good stuff? Look at somebody and say, what's your attitude? We got to have the right attitude. The right attitude helps me see the big picture. The right attitude makes me see the bigger picture. Helps me understand what God is trying to do in this moment. The right attitude makes me know that everybody's not out to get me. The right attitude says, you know what? I'm going to make the most of this situation. Come on, is this talking to anybody? Come on, this is a real good marriage counseling moment right here. We got to learn how to have the right attitude every season of our life. Learn how to have the right attitude with what God gives you in your hand. Have the right attitude with what's in your bank account, with the type of job that you have. Have the right attitude when we serve in the church. Have the right attitude whenever you're doing anything for the Lord, knowing that you're doing it unto the Lord. When you work, have the right attitude. If you have a job, come early, stay late. Who cares what everybody else is doing? Stop comparing yourself to the other people who's working there. Stop comparing yourself to everyone else. Because guess what? God will begin to promote you. God will begin to advance you. You know, I got the room key to the Trump Hotel, right? I had to bring it back with me. Because it says something on this room key that just blew my mind. It says, it's simple. Do it better than anyone else. I was like, that is truth right there. That's having the right attitude. Forget about what everybody else, just do it the very best that you can. Scripture says, anything you do, do it as unto the Lord. The right attitude is a spirit of excellence. You see, a spirit of excellence doesn't mean that, you're better than everyone else. Just excellence means that I just want to do it at the very best I possibly can. The right attitude. The right attitude will keep you in the room. Is this getting keys? Come on, this is good stuff, ain't it? So that's the first thing we need, is the right attitude. Second thing we need is faith. Faith. Believing that with God, somebody shout with God. That's why I wore this shirt today, because with God, nothing will be impossible. Mary could have easily said, angel, you are crazy. Are you sure you got the right address? Are you sure you're talking? I'm not even married yet. This is unheard of. Faith, you know what Mary said? According to your word. Because Mary came in agreement with the word. And as soon as she came in agreement with the word, she began to own the promise of God. You see, when we never mix faith with the promise of God, it will always remain in seed form. Write that down. Catch that. Every time, if I never come in agreement with the Word of God, if I never come in agreement with the promise of God, with the Word of God, that's why we want to read the Bible this year, church, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And the only way that you're going to be able to come in agreement with the Word of God is if you read the Word, know the Word, pray the Word, worship in the Word. Come on, are you getting this? When the Word of God becomes inside of us and we begin to have faith, we begin to walk and come in agreement with the Word, because the only way that we're going to be able to pray effectively is when we pray the Word of God. We're praying the will of God. When we come into the Word, we'll come in agreement with the Word of God. When we mix God's promise with faith, it changes everything. One bold yes. Mary said yes to God. One bold yes changes everything. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them. But the word, listen to this, which they heard. He's talking about the Israelites. Do you remember when the Israelites were supposed to go into the promised land? Listen to this. But the word which they, the Israelites, heard did not profit them. It did not advance them. It did not do them any good, even though they had a promise that they were going to go into the promised land. Even though Moses told them that they're going to get into the land of milk and honey. Even though they saw the product of the grapes and the fig and the land that was green and nice and plentiful. It was an amazing land. They were going to have houses they didn't build and wells they didn't dig. They had promise after promise. But you know what happened? They had a word, but it was never mixed with faith. So it didn't profit them. It was never mixed with faith. Only Joshua and Caleb rose up and said, we can surely take them. God is with us. I know there are giants in the land, but guess what? God is with us and we'll have victory. But because they did not have any faith, the promise was of no effect. All of us in here, we have the promises of God in our hand. Every day you have them. Maybe it's in your phone. Maybe it's in your vehicle. I don't know where you have the promises of God. Maybe some of us in here, you have it tattooed on your skin, and that's okay too. But the thing is that don't have it tattooed upon your skin if you can't even come in, if it's not tattooed upon your heart. Y'all getting quiet on me. Come on. Mix it with faith. When God promises you something, mix it with faith. Here's the third thing. I'm coming to a close. Action. Look at somebody, say action. First thing was what? Come on, attitude. Second thing was faith. Third thing, action. Action completes the process. Action will always confirm our faith. Action proves out what we believe to be true. Isn't that so? Come on, we say, you know, spouses, do you love me? We'll prove it. Come on, isn't that what we say? You know, if you really love me, you'll prove it. You'll show me. Our action proves our love to God. Jesus even said, people will know you're my disciples by your love one to another. And what he was talking about, that love was not just a feeling or emotion. It was an unconditional action. Action puts feet to my faith. Action, I go beyond words, and now I have feet to it. Action is also contagious. Come on, isn't it? When you see people with action and they're acting out what they believe is contagious. You remember just a few weeks ago we were talking about how to be a contagious Christian. You can be contagious the wrong way, or you can be contagious in the right way. Action always manifests the promises of God. My action produces character. Action produces character. Everything starts with a thought. Actions. Are you still with me? James 2:17 was talking about faith and works. And he says something here. He says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In fact, he even compared it to our body. He said, even the body without the soul is dead. And even as the body without the soul, without the spirit is dead, even so faith without actions is dead. Faith without works. We can experience the fullness of God when God shows up unexpectedly in our life. When we have the right attitude, when we have mix it with faith, and when we have action. And God is asking today, how much do you want to believe God for? How much will you believe Him for? You know, at the beginning of the year, we started off believing God that with God, nothing will be impossible. And I think throughout the year, some of us in here got discouraged. Maybe some of you said, maybe for everybody else, it can happen, but not for me. I've been coming in agreement with this word. I haven't seen the healing yet. I haven't seen the breakthrough yet. Just last week, there was a family in California, and a lot of you know about this. She's a young worship leader. Her name is Kelly. Can't really pronounce her last name, Helenthal or something like that. She's one of the ministers at Bethel. And she had a 2-year-old baby girl. And something happened. Her name was Olive. The baby just stopped breathing. Didn't know what happened. And so for the first day, the second day, third day. Now many days pass, about 4 or 5 days, and they're believing, you know what they were believing God for? For a resurrection. Pastor, that's crazy. That's unheard of. Why not just let the girl go? Why not just let her go? You see, there are some people that actually take the gospel true. Why can't God raise? Jesus said, raise the dead. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. We forget about raising the dead. I remember when your dad passed away. You were praying for God to raise him back up. And so for 5 days, they believed for a resurrection. I believe yesterday or the day, I can think it was yesterday, they finally came to the conclusion where God wasn't going to raise her. And so now they're going to celebrate the life of Olive. Why am I saying this? What's my point? My point is when we come into agreement with the Word of God, sometimes we don't always get the breakthrough that we're expecting. Did you hear that? Sometimes we don't always get the breakthrough or the answer that we are expecting. You see, we shape the will of God based on what we think is true or what we think is right. And we base that around feelings. We base that around our emotions. And we base it even around TV and Hollywood. We base what we think is right based on all these feelings and all these emotions. I've heard of people literally tell me that I knew what God told me to do, but I went against it anyway, and now I'm in this situation, and I don't know what to do. I said, wait a minute. You knew that God told you, God said no, not do it, but you continue to do it anyway, and you thought that? Can I say this? Anytime that we willingly know that God wants you to do something and we don't do it, we can't expect it to end very good. Did you catch this? Are you hearing this? I want to say that again. Anytime God says no and you say yes, we can't expect it to end well. We just can't expect for it to go the way that we want it to go. But you know what? God is a loving Father. And He'll come in and He'll rescue us. And He'll heal you. And He'll give you beauty for ashes and oil for your wounds and salve. He'll begin to heal you and help you through the process. There are some of you that have gone for the last 361 days or 62 days. I don't know what today is, but 362 or three, somewhere right around there. And you're believing every day for this miracle. You're believing every day for a breakthrough, and you haven't seen it yet. And I'm not saying, well, you got 4 days, 5, 6 days, your miracle will happen before the end of this year. It just might be that way, or it might happen in 2020, or it might happen in 2021. Are you hearing me? What am I saying? I would love to tell you, you know what? God will heal you right now today, and it may just happen that way. But there are some in here today that's going to have to hold on and believe God that according to your word, it'll happen just like you say it. Because if you remember right, Mary came in agreement with the word, but Jesus wasn't born at that moment. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Are you hearing this? See, there's a process. Sometimes we got to wait. Pastor Jim preached that beautiful job last Sunday morning about waiting on the Lord. We got to learn how to wait with God. Learn how to worship while we're waiting. Learn how to pray while we're waiting. And learn how to stay in the Word of God and trust Him while we're waiting. Faith says, I can. Faith says, we can. Faith says, nothing is impossible with God. So, and again, today, would you come into agreement with this scripture that says, with God, nothing will be impossible. Today, we have the opportunity to believe God for the impossible. You know, that story about this young child, people will say, you know, that's silly. You know, you shouldn't do things like that. I believe that we as Christians need to come into agreement more with God. And I believe that we'll begin to see more supernatural things happen in our life. When we come in agreement with this word, I believe that we will see creative miracles. I believe God will begin to grow body parts back. I believe that God can remove sickness. I believe that God can heal marriages. I believe that God can turn lives around. I believe that God can still reconstruct and reroute people that's on the way to hell. I believe that God can save people and remove addictions from lives. I believe that God can do these things in your life if we allow Him to. If we allow Him to. So again, this morning, would we have the right attitude? Would we trust Him while waiting? Would we have faith to believe that with God nothing will be impossible? And then would we have action? Attitude, faith, and action. And it begin to birth the miracles of God in our life. This is how I want to close today. You're here today. And you say, Pastor, all this year I've been believing for the impossible. My attitude is not good. I need to have the right attitude. I'm mad at God, maybe. You're disappointed. Your attitude is not where it should be right now. Maybe you need God to rearrange your attitude. Maybe your faith is low. Pastor, my faith is low this morning. I'm discouraged. My faith is low. I'm struggling with unbelief. It's like I believe, but I don't believe. I'm struggling in my faith. I need prayer. And the third thing is this, action. Pastor, I know God can do anything. I believe it. But now God is saying, would you have action? Would you put feet to your faith? You see, all of you are, who's here this morning? Raise your hand if you're here. All right, everybody who did not raise your hand, you're in Gateway Church this morning. Just want to let you know that. But you had a thought, and your action brought you to the house of God today. If you woke up this morning and said, man, I'm going to go to church. But you're still home. If you're home watching me, you should have been here. Our action needs to line up with our thoughts. Come on, are you here? So we need an attitude adjustment. We have faith increase. We need to learn how to have more action, more words. If you're here today, you need prayer for any one of those things. Either your attitude, your faith needs to increase, or you need more action. I don't know about you, but I need prayer for all three. Me, personally. I need an attitude adjustment because my attitude sucks sometimes. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, ask somebody, does your attitude suck this morning? It's okay. You can say that. It's not good. Are you struggling with your faith? Where's your faith at? Are you wavering in your faith? Your action. Where's your commitment level? Are we making excuses as to why we can't come? Are you making excuses as to why you can't come in agreement with God? Are you blaming everybody else around you? Are you trusting God for the impossible? If you need prayer for any of those three, would you stand right now all over this place? Hurry, come on. Please stand while the presence of God is here in this room. I need my attitude to be adjusted. I need my faith to increase. I need my action to increase. I need my action to change. If that's you, come on, stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's how we're going to do this today. We're going to pray.